We want to talk about ratios. So the little song this morning sort of fit with what we're going to be comparing. Ratios are math terms that compare values of two numbers, it says, or quantities of things. Those are definitions. It shows the number of times one number is contained within the other number. And it also means it's what portion one number is to another. So comparing to God, I really like that this morning. All things are small. When we deal with ratios, we're also dealing with fractions. Fractions and ratios can be interchanged. And it's been many years since I have really worked with fractions, but I always enjoyed fractions when I was in school. And when we were working here the other day and Caden was down here on the floor with Robert, and Robert gave him a measurement and sent it out there for Damon to cut and gave him a fraction to go and repeat. And Robert was saying, I'm trying to teach him fractions. Fractions are very important. And cooking, we all use fractions, a fourth of a cup or a half of a cup. That's a fraction. In the measurements you sew, you use fractions in a lot of your measurements. So it's important that we learn fractions. So I'm going to just say a few things about fractions, what they are, just to refresh our little minds this morning. Whole fractions. Whole fractions are where the numerator and the denominator are the same and they equal one. And then we have proper or common fractions. And the numerator indicates the portion or the part of the whole. And the denominator in a fraction indicates the whole part that you're dealing with. A fraction is a disconnected part of anything. You look up these terms, you look them up, and your mind can be opened up to spiritual things. It's not just doing math or sewing or cooking or measuring a board. It goes into a lot of areas of our life if you think of what they mean. A disconnected part of anything. Or a small portion or a fragment. That's a fraction. And then, of course, the whole part is the entire undivided element which makes up the total. Those are just words that we put together to try to get our minds fitted for the spiritual now. When you're dealing with fractions, you also go into percentages. And the Latin word for percentages was per centum. Centum means 100. So when you're dealing with percentages, your base is 100%. That's what you deal with. And it's the same with the fractions. Your denominator represents the whole or the 100%. If it's whatever number it is represented as the, on the basis of 100%. So the denominator is based on the hundred or the whole, and the numerator is that disconnected part or the fragment or the portion. So now I want to connect that with the spiritual. And I'm going to write a fraction on the board in the spiritual. We have a mixed denominator here. Can that be possible? Well, we want our minds to recognize how this fraction will not work. When you think of this denominator, there's only one part of that denominator that will work spiritually for you and for me. Man being the numerator, it represents just that element or that portion, but if God is the denominator, it represents the whole. There is a poem, a song, it's not a poem, but I looked it up on the internet this morning, and I thought that this really gave a picture of spiritual fractions. This song was written in 1875. And the title of it is None of Self and All of Thee. And it says, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. So we've got a fraction. We have a ratio. We have something to compare here. We have a numerator here that is completely out of balance for normal, common fractions. If it's all of me, it would be 100% or 100. The denominator would be 0. So it would be totally self. We go to the next verse and it says, yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the cursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Now I've got a different fraction. I have a little different ratio. I could make it any number, but I could, on the basis of 100, I might say this time that self is 75 and some of God would be maybe 25. So it's still out of balance. It's not really spiritually sound. But the writer of this song had a greater vision. And it says, day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Now I'm getting into more of a common fraction. I have a different ratio, a different comparison. I have a different vision. When I'm able to see God for his worth, his value, I can compare oranges to apples, the numbers, but this is different. I can compare numeral, many numbers. But I compare, when I compare me to God, I have to recognize I have a great need. I need him far more than he needs me. So now we have a fraction that might look like the numerator is 25 and the denominator is 75. It's changing a little bit, see? And the last verse says, higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self and all of thee. You know what the Lord desires? He says in his word in so many places how that you and I are to lay down our life. He said he laid down his life. And he's calling for all of us to give of ourselves wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely. So our thoughts this morning, and I wondered, I mean, I sort of questioned, what is this all about, Lord? And the first verse is very familiar to us. It's Matthew 6 and 24. And it says, no man can serve two masters. And so we have two masters up here as a denominator. And we have to eliminate one. And the scripture says that because you cannot serve two masters, you will either love one and hate the other, or you will cling to one and despise the other. So we have to make a choice. And the word of the Lord is just all the way through. In the Old Testament, many things were said because the children of Israel often tried to worship two gods. They had a head knowledge of the one true God. But they lived among people, among nations that worshiped idols, and they saw something that attracted them to that kind of worship. And they tried to mix that. And I'm going to give you some scriptures in Zephaniah 1 from verses 4 and 5, parts of it, enough for you and me to get a hold of it. It says, I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and all the inhabitants that worship the host of heaven and that swear by the Lord and swear by Malchim, or an idol. And then the part of that verse 4, it says, I will cut off that remnant. God is not going to share his glory with any man, and certainly not with the devil. He does not want his people worshiping any other god. He said, I am the one true God. There is only one. And yet man has a way of, and we go back to self. Self is involved in what I choose in worshiping God or in worshiping the things of the earth or seeking after the things of the earth. It has to do with me. It has to do with my choices. It has to do with the love that I feel in my heart for the one that I choose. Because I'm only going to be able to choose one. We don't like to even think, oh, I'm going to choose to serve Satan. Mentally, we don't think that way. But it is obvious that people are making those kind of choices, whether they name it that way or not. To choose self is to choose Satan. To please myself. To not allow God to be that dominating factor. And that doesn't have to do with a denominator. But we want God to be the dominating factor in our lives. The one that will lead us and guide us and correct us and teach us. Do we need correction? We need correction all along the way. And he's fair in his judgments of his people. and all people. He's fair and righteous. But it goes on, and I'm connecting this verse with a portion in 2 Kings 17 and 33. It said, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. So we have this denominator. I know God. I know He's real. I know He's the creator of the ends of the earth. I understand that there is a true God, but I want to serve my own God. Now, you and I are not likely to go home and bow down to some Buddha or some other God that is set up in our houses. We're not. But I want to tell you, self wants to rise up and be worshipped and be condoned and allowed to be have its way. Self can be a god. It's because you and I are so familiar with the Word of God that we're not going to give ourselves to a literal idol. We can go into a Chinese restaurant, and there's many around, and many times they will have their little Buddhas up by the cash register. Have you ever seen where they will even offer a piece of fruit, and it's sitting before that God, and they're offering that to appease that God? I want to tell you, there is an idol of myself. And I want to appease self many times. I want to have my way. Let's go on reading. James 1 and 8. And then there is one in James 4 and 8. And it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then James 4 and 8, the latter part of it says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is a double-minded person? One that wants to serve both gods. One that wants to have their way. And one that has a knowledge. Yes, I want to live for the Lord. Yes, I know there is a one true God. But I cannot fear God and serve my own God. That's double-minded. Hosea 10 and 2 says, their heart is divided. You and I cannot have a divided heart and worship God as He is calling for us to worship Him. In so doing, a divided heart takes away the power that He wants to give to you and me to rise above and subdue our enemy. And my enemy is more me than my enemy there. I face me every day. Whether there is anyone else in the house or not, I can be all alone in my house. No one is talking to me. No one is disturbing my peace. No one is there saying anything to hinder me, but yet I have a mind. And the enemy of my soul is there to promote thoughts that disturb my peace and cause me to have conversations that I wish I could have, but never have. But it has a way of tormenting my soul, vexing my spirit. And as I give myself to those things, I am not as powerful. I do not have the grace. I do not have that which the Lord is offering, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, sometimes we are heavy laden with other things. And when we are, what do we do about it? I'm telling you, the victory is in overcoming The scripture tells us how Jesus overcame. That's the victory for you and me that we overcome, and you're going to only find it on your knees. Don't tarry with the vexations. Don't allow it to become a root of bitterness. Don't allow it to go out and affect my family, affect others. Take care of it while it's in the infant stage. Go to the Lord. Confess it. Say, Lord, you know my thoughts. You read my thoughts. You know them afar off. You know the trouble of my spirit. Denounce self. Lord, I'm going to live for you and you alone. I'm not going to worship myself and give myself as an idol. So their heart is divided, and now shall they be found faulty. That's Hosea 10 and 2. Something happens when our heart is divided. You'll be found faulty. I'm thinking of how that Elijah, how the children of Israel got caught up in the worshiping of Baal. This is from the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. We'll rehearse a little bit of this morning, but not read it all. Some of the verses are wonderful, and I would like to encourage you to take this chapter and read it in your devotions. It is an inspiration to faith. But we know the account that the king was a wicked man over the children of Israel, taking on idol worship. And the people were following them. The scripture tells us there were 450 prophets of Baal. And there were 400 of the prophets that ate at Jezebel's table. So they were affected. And they led the people that way. So the Lord sent Elijah there to help the people to make a right choice. He gave them the options that they could be first. The prophets of Baal were allowed to build their altar and make their sacrifice, and the one that was answered by fire, that was to be the God that the children of Israel was to worship. And we know the account that they did not, that there was no fire that came down on their sacrifice. So it happened for all day long, and in the evening time is when Elijah began to repair the altar, and he placed the wood, he placed the stones, and then he called for 12 barrels of water. And the sacrifice was completely saturated. So now I'm going to start reading at verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was around about. And the people fell on their faces. And they admitted, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You know, when you and I recognize that we can be an enemy to ourselves, that we can hinder the working of God in our life, and we admit, Lord, You're God. You're the one. You know how to help me. You know how to manifest Your great power in my life. That's when the fire will come down and it will consume the enemy. I want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to read a little bit about Asa. I'll be taking verses 7 and 8 and 12, 15 through 17. We'll read some of those. Asa is the king over the children of Israel, Judah. And the words had come to him that said, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words, he took courage, and he put away the abominable idols out of the land and renewed the altar of the Lord. Now, there's a lesson in this for us. For you and me to take courage, to see that there is a reward if I make the right choices. I have the right master of my life. If I put down those idols out of my life. Verse 12 said that the, speaking of the children of Israel, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Verse 15, and all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest. I think the secret then is for us to also do things with our whole heart, with our whole desire. To recognize what a great enemy I can be to myself. If we skip down into the next chapter, I'll give you a few verses there. Chapter 16, verses 1 and 3 and 7 and 12, just a few verses. This part takes place in the 36th year of the reign of Asa. Verse 2 says that Asa brought out the silver and the gold of the treasures of the house of the Lord. And he sent it to the king of Syria. And he made a league, verse 3, between the king of Syria and himself. And we go down then, and the seer comes to him, the prophet. And he said, because, verse 7, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Then we skip down to verse 12. What happened then to Asa? Is he became diseased in his feet until it was exceeding great. And in his this disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Now we have an example here We first have the example of Elijah. How that Elijah, he gave his whole heart to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord with his whole desire. And the Lord honored that, sent the fire, consumed the sacrifice. Now we have Asa. Asa was a blessed man. As long as he was leading the people to enter into the covenant, to seek the Lord with all of their hearts and all of their desire, and they were blessed and they had peace. But 36 years later, he was a different man. He now was seeking help from other sources. Even in the defense of the people, he didn't seek for the Lord to be his defense. And the seer or the prophet even told him of an instance where he had done that, and that God was his defense and delivered them out of the hand of their enemy. But he wouldn't do it. That's why you and I can be an enemy to ourselves. We can be living for the Lord and striving to enter in at the straight gate, doing all that we know to do. We read the word. We're coming to services. We're obeying as much as we know. But something slipped into Asa. Something happened to the way he saw God. And he turned and he placed his confidence in other things that was his end. I have a scripture over in Job, the 11th chapter. Lord, help us that we can get the message this morning that we need a common denominator of God. In the 11th chapter, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. And it says, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, I recognize it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I can fail. I can fall if I follow my own desires. If self is having its way, if self becomes the idol, self is the other god. Yes, I fear God, but I also want to worship my own God. And it says, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hands toward him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. And yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. So what is the ratio? What is the denominator? And even then, it may be just a common denominator. God's still 100. But what is he calling for you and me? Give our all. If I give my all, I'll be 100. The two will equal. It will be equal one. If I've given my all and God is all in all, then it will be a fraction that is a whole number. It will be one. We will be in unity. We will have unity of the Spirit. How blessed it is to walk in the unity of the Spirit, even with the brethren. When I am one with God, will I not be one with the people? with my brethren? How blessed it is to walk in the unity of the Spirit. It takes me preparing my heart. It takes me seeking Him with my whole heart and my whole desire. It takes me denouncing self, laying down self. That's what it takes. So the song can be all of self and none of thee. Or it can be none of self and all of thee. And oh, the richness of His blessings when I give my all. The reward is great. Scripture says, great will be your reward in heaven, but I'm going to tell you there's a reward on earth. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrows to it. So in closing, we have Psalms 119 and 2 and verse 34. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. And verse 33. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The scripture says a house divided against itself cannot stand. If I'm dividing my affections and my desires, and I'm not saying I'm worshiping the devil or I'm worshiping Satan, but the scripture says you can only have one master. I can only have one strong denominator in my life. But if I do it with my whole heart that is undivided, God will receive me. I will be the benefactor. I will benefit. You will benefit if you will recognize the enemy wants to use self to be a hindrance in the blessings of the Lord. Lord, help us all. And help me. Let that be our prayer. Lord, help me to see myself. Help me not to be deceived. Help me not to be blind. Help me to believe the truth. Pray for me.